Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kelder. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. BK is at Brad Kelder in the Twitterverse. Also, if you want to watch the Triple Option with RBKD, you can do so on the Twitch stream. Go to hornfm.com. You can tap into the Twitch stream. There's a link there, and you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All right, let's not waste any time. There's a lot of excitement brewing in this town right now about the Austin FC. And one of our good friends, Mike Craven, at Craven Mike in the Twitterverse. He covers the Austin FC for the Austin American Statesman. Actually, used to cover recruiting for the Austin American Statesman, but he switched up the game. He is a renaissance man showing us there. Hey, Mike, thank you for the time. We appreciate you coming on with us.
I appreciate y'all. How's it going, Rod?
It's going well, man. How's everything going? How's the family?
It's going pretty good. Grandfather's out at the ranch doing his thing, so everybody's good.
Yeah, man. Okay, so how are you liking the new beat, man, covering soccer, going from the American football to football? How is it? Have you always been a big soccer guy, a big soccer fan?
No, I wasn't. You know, I grew up in the normal football, baseball, basketball household around UT Sports my whole life. I kind of picked up soccer after college. I started playing FIFA. And then I went into sports writing, and soccer is the perfect sports writer job or sports writer sport because it comes on, you know, kind of afternoon, midday, Tuesday, Wednesday over in Europe and stuff with the time change. So I just kind of started watching it during the day while everybody else was working and became a fan. And then when this opportunity came up, it was too much to pass up. You know, I couldn't turn down switching up, talking to teenagers to talking to professional athletes. So that
was, yeah. One of the things I like about him is the gear, man. The gear is pretty cool.
Yeah,
the merchandise is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. They want to represent this city. They want to be on people's, you know, backs and stuff. They want people to buy the stuff that don't even care about soccer, who never watch a soccer game, but want something with Austin on it. So they're trying to get that arm out there as much as they can.
I think they're doing a great job with that. Mike, the first regular season match coming up this Saturday against LAFC. We'll get to that here in a second. But last week, Austin FC did play 3 preseason matches. They lost the first 2 to Houston and Dallas. They did win against San Antonio FC 5-1 over the weekend. Your thoughts from what you've seen from this team thus far? Look, it's an expansion team. Bunch of new players, new coaches, guys who have never played with each other before. But your thoughts on how they looked last week and how it's all coming together as we get set for match day to start the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, they held their own, and they looked like they belonged against 2 MLS teams. I think that's what they were looking for. You know, you don't know what to expect. You can put together a roster on paper. You can even watch them in practice. But then, until they go up against competition they're going to face on a regular basis, you just don't know what it's going to look like. I think Claudio Reyna, the sporting director, Josh Wolf, the head coach, probably feel pretty good about their roster. Like you said, it's an expansion team, so expectations need to be just making the playoffs. You know, that would be a good season. But so for what they saw against FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo, I think they should be pleased. Defense is going to be the concern, but I think everybody who followed this closely knew that. So they're going to have to tighten that up and kind of figure out how they play from the back and what they want to do with that stuff. But otherwise, they did pretty well. They scored a lot of goals. It looked like exciting soccer, and that's what Josh Wolf wants to bring to the team.
Well, Mike, I mean, we've got other examples of cities and teams that have come into the league and done pretty well right away. Atlanta, LAFC, and then I was also reading that Nashville SC all came in and at least, you know, had some success. What should the expectations be for season one?
Yeah, I mean, their owner, Anthony Precourt, was at the stadium the other day with the MLS commissioner and Steve Adler, the mayor, and, you know, he was asked kind of, what do you expect from this team? And he said, I expect them to make the playoffs, and I've told the coach, sporting director, that. So that is the expectations. This is a professional sports franchise. They are paid to win. You buy tickets for them to win. So they're going to go out there and try to be a playoff team. They face who is the favorite. I'm a sports gambling guy. I like sports betting. LAFC is the favorite to win MLS this year. They play them in the first game. So we should get a good test early on to kind of see where they stack with the elite and if that playoff expectation is realistic.
Hey, Mike, so speaking of the playoffs, 7 of the 13 teams in the West make the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's, I mean, I don't know, how competitive is the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think it's one of those conferences where the top 3 or 4 teams are probably pretty much understood. You have LAFC, Minnesota, Kansas City. Those teams are going to be up there. But they have a chance to kind of be underneath that. Once you get past Seattle, Portland, LAFC, you kind of, you know, it kind of opens up a little bit. So they can get into that sixth, seventh, eighth spot. So I think it's kind of top heavy with the top five teams kind of being in their own class, and then, you know, 6 through 14 kind of being able to fight it out for those, you know, other three spots, two spots.
Hey, Mike, my my fiance is a big soccer fan, and she wanted me to ask you how common is it to have your first seven games of the season on the road?
Well, it not common unless you're doing some stadium stuff.
And, okay, and that's what it is. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, so Q2 Stadium set to open in June. There's an international break there right at the start of June, so I think the best way for them to go about it was to do the first seven games on the road. They'll have that 3-week break, and then June 19th against San Jose will be the home opener.
Mike Craven of the Austin American Statesman joining the Triple Option with RBKD. Talking Austin FC, we are 5 days away from the inaugural match for Austin FC. You talked about LAFC, Mike, and how they are the Vegas favorite to win the MLS Cup. Look, this is different than baseball, right? I mean, you usually get one match a week in the MLS. So how important do you think Saturday's match is? Like, this is a nationally televised game on Fox. With what you know about the city of Austin, do you think Austin FC needs a good showing on Saturday? Like, what's the worst thing that happens this weekend? And do you think this fan base might be a little discouraged if Austin FC just goes out and gets destroyed this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the casual fans might turn it off after that until the home game comes around. You know, I do think there's two different seasons here for Austin FC. It's that first seven games on the road where maybe it'll be more hardcore MLS fans and hardcore soccer fans watching. But then once there's home games and there's buzz and there's 20,000 people in there, maybe that kind of picks it up again. So I don't know how crucial it is early on. If they come out and they play a really exciting game, like score 2-3 goals, even if they lose, I think people tune in the next week. So they want to be exciting. And Josh Wolf, he was an offensive guy when he played. He wants to be exciting anyway. So I think, you know, a 0-0 draw may be the worst case scenario in terms of the casual fan. I think even a loss, if they score multiple goals, people go, okay, that's fun. That's my city. I want to keep up with this a little bit more before they get here, you know, for good in June.
Well, Mike, one of the things you said, you're a longtime Texas person. You know that in Austin, and certainly in the state, but specifically Austin, man, if it has Austin on the title and on the jersey, people are going to root for it, whether they know about it, the sport, or whatever that is. And I've talked to a lot of people that want to get into this, and they just don't know anything about soccer. You said you made the change. Now, you knew some soccer, but you made the change from recruiting to soccer. What did you look at? Were there any primers or any cliff notes that helped you out?
I think the video game is big. I think FIFA, the video game.
That's what got me in.
Yeah, that's really college, you know, just like late at night playing online FIFA and stuff is really what got me into the sport. So I would watch the highest levels of it. You know, I think for me, it was just the World Cup or bust before. Once I got into soccer, it was like, okay, I'm going to pick a team and really root for it. And, you know, once you have a team to root for, it gets a little bit easier to keep up with. So that was my advice. Pick a couple teams in a couple different leagues, play the video game, and then tune in, I guess, on April 17th and see if you like the product. Austin-wise, I think – speaking of the UT stuff, the important part to realize, I'm from here. I was born here in 1985. I think I've seen the city turn into something that it wasn't previously.
Yeah.
And I believe that favors Austin FC. This is not just the UT-centric town it was in the 90s I grew up in. There's a lot of people here who are looking for something to root for. Austin FC may give them that. I didn't ever think I was going to see a team from my town play against Los Angeles and play against Seattle and Portland stuff. That's going to be kind of cool. And so I think a lot of people will gravitate towards that, even if they maybe aren't soccer, you know, aficionados.
That's a great point. I think you're right.
Yeah, no, it's I totally agree with you. Mike, let me ask you about the strategy and style of play, tactical element of the game. Do you know what style they play? Are they going to be a 4-3-3? Are we talking a 4-2-3-1? I know it sounds like, trust me, I'm learning on the fly with it too. I had my woman quizzing me the other day about it. But style of play, like what strategy does the Austin FC implement?
Yeah, so Josh Wolf, the head coach, was the assistant to Greg Berhalter, who was at Columbus previously. Now he's the men's U.S. national team's coach. So anybody who's watched any of the U.S. men's national team stuff over the last year or so, probably that style. So not to get too dorky on you, but 4-3-3, The fullbacks are going to attack and try to overlap and kind of offload that kind of stuff. And they're going to attack. They're going to play out of the back. They don't want to just kick it downfield and hope. They want to, you know, control the ball. They want to play with the ball. And they want to go score. You know, I think he's a new age coach in that way. He doesn't want to just keep the ball to keep the ball. He knows he wants to play an exciting brand. And the more exciting he is, the better it is for this franchise early on. So I think they're going to attack. And, yeah, he prefers a 4-3-3. You know, with wingers to stay out wide and that kind of stuff. And just your typical striker who can play offense and defense up front.
Mike Craven of the Austin American-Statesman joining the Triple Option with RBKD to talk Austin FC. The first match for Austin FC taking place this Saturday. It'll be a nationally televised game Saturday at 4 o'clock against LAFC. Mike, you wrote a good piece in the Statesman a couple of weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, just about five key players for Austin FC. Cecilio Dominguez had a couple of goals on Saturday. Tomas Pochettino had a nasty free kick goal over the weekend as well. You know, are those the two guys that you think will be doing a lot of the scoring for Austin FC? Just give us a couple of names that we really need to look out for and guys that you think this fan base can really attach itself to early on.
Yeah, if we're talking about scoring, I think the two you mentioned are right up there. Those are their two designated players. In the MLS, there's a salary cap kind of situation, but you can sign three guys outside of that limit. And those players tend to cost more, and they tend to play offense because it's harder to score goals than to stop goals. So I think those two guys plus Rodney Redis will probably be the offensive guys. On the back side, I think Alex Ring is probably going to be the captain. He plays kind of the defensive midfield position. It's kind of like the middle linebacker of soccer right in front of the back line guys. I think he's going to be a fan favorite because he hustles around. He'll tackle guys. He'll knock guys down. He'll bring some of that physicality to the team. So I think Alex Ring will kind of be the defensive guy, and then Cecilio Ramirez, Tomas Pochettino, Rodney Redis will be that kind of front line guys that score the goals and get some of the glory.
Last question, Mike. It's kind of a two-parter. It's really two questions. I don't know why I'm saying it's one. Your thoughts on
Q2? It's not the last question.
Your thoughts on Q2 Stadium? I saw that you were there a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week. We haven't been able to see it yet. We've seen pictures. Obviously, I've driven by it a million times, but just how nice does it look on the inside? And let me make sure I have this right. You're saying MLS Cup or bust for this team, right? Like it's a failed season if they don't win this year. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, mark it down. Beat writers. Cup or bust. Yeah, the stadium's tremendous. You know, like it took me by surprise. I don't know what I was exactly expecting. I mean, most of my experience is, you know, high school football and then going to UT football games and stuff. So I'm not sure what I envisioned. But it was really nice. They did some really cool things with it. They purposely built it so the air will flow through there. They got some mesh seats where the sun's going to be, so the seats shouldn't be as hot. I think they were really conscientious on how they did it. It's going to be loud. They got metal hanging over all the stands and stuff. They're going to let people in there with drums and flares. Like, it's going to be a legit crazy thing. I'm looking forward to kind of sitting away in the press box and just watching it unfold.
No doubt. Mike, we really appreciate your time. Great stuff as always, man. Congratulations on the Austin FC beat. You've been putting out great content over the last few months. Enjoy this weekend, man, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You Thanks, too. Mike. There good stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Craven, the Austin American-Statesman. He is their beat writer for Austin FC. 5 days away, gentlemen. I'm excited. I was actually bummed because Saturday, the third preseason match for Austin FC, they took on San Antonio. They won. It was 5-1. That game wasn't on TV. There was no stream. Like, I couldn't find it anywhere. It's a little disappointing, but
yeah,
I am
you
looking
couldn't
forward.
Stream it.
I know. If I can't find it,
it's
then
not
nobody,
on.
It's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can hack into people's smartphones. If someone's just recording from their iPhone, I can generally find a way to get in there. But I couldn't do it this past weekend. But I'm excited for this thing, man. 5 days away. As Mike said, LAFC is the Vegas favorite to win the MLS Cup this year. So that's a tough first opponent. I'm just hoping for a decent showing by Austin FC. I'm not sure what to expect. This is like my first experience rooting for an expansion franchise. I mean, I go sport to sport, and KD, you brought some of the examples up in MLS where teams have started off strong. I think Atlanta United won MLS Cup in their second year. So, like, it's possible for Austin FC to be good. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights in hockey. They made it to the Stanley Cup Final their first year in existence. So sometimes these leagues try to make it to where these new teams can have some success because they want the fans to be bought in.
The NHL definitely did that with Vegas.
No doubt about that.
Too much.
No doubt about that. But Austin FC, look, I think this fan base is already excited. I mean, the wait list for season tickets is record-setting.
Yeah.
MLS has never seen anything like the demand that they're seeing right now. I'm bought in, man. I'm really, really excited. Looking forward to this match on Saturday. I might have to go to a watch party or something, man. I'm a full soccer guy now, I guess.
Yeah, what happened to you?
I'm in.
I told Trey that, and Trey said, wait a minute. He used to hate soccer.
It's Austin.
You flipped.
I rep the city.
Yeah, that'll be it for me. I actually noticed that when I lived in Spain. I started to root for not only the Spanish soccer team, but the local soccer team. You just kind of get into it a little bit. And also, it was at a high level. So I'm expecting this to be at a high level. Because when I first started watching MLS, it was not at a high level. But that was years ago.
It's getting there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and Mike talked about the designated players, right, which gives you some salary cap leeway and allows you to go across the world to get some guys who are really, really damn good. So Pochettino, that free kick he had on Saturday was special. He's one of those weapons. Those are like some of my favorite goals in soccer, just the set-piece goals.
Yep.
And to have one of those guys on your team is pretty awesome. So hopefully we could see some of that in the regular season. But, I was listening to podcasts, soccer podcasts, over the weekend.
Man.
I'm like counting up instead of counting down now.
What happened to you?
I'm all of a sudden not as angry with ties
soccer
and sports.
Podcasts?
What's going on, dude?
Man, I don't even know who you are.
I'm
going
to listen to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight. Like, it's...
I'm
bought in, man.
Trying to take away rights from college players. I don't know what you've turned into.
He's going
to
be advocating that pretty soon for UT to get a men's soccer team.
Well, yeah, he will.
We should have a men's soccer team.
Well, we have a Quidditch team, so...
Yeah, you got Quidditch. Yeah. And we're a national powerhouse in Quidditch.
I'm not sure they're men, but they're boys.
Interesting.
Sorry, we're going to lose all our sponsors for that.
I've got the fever, though, man. Not just Cedar fever. I've got Austin FC fever, man. Should be fun this weekend. I hate that we have to wait till June to see this team at home, but coming up on Saturday. So we'll bring some guests on. We'll talk to some folks throughout the course of this week just to try to get people excited. I know people are excited, so hopefully you're bought into.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people that I know more soccer than, so that'll tell you something. But I did get to... I mean, FIFA and living in Europe actually helped me out the most with that.
Yeah, I think
I've got a good enough feel for it.
I think Austin has a lot of what used to be closeted soccer fans. Austin FC's kind of brought them out of the closet. You go look at the ratings for World Cup, whether it be Women's World Cup or Men's World Cup, over the last 15 years, and for some reason, Austin always stands out as one of the highest rated markets, and it doesn't even have a soccer team. Well, now it does. So I think you'll have that natural support. I think the merchandising is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, because their merchandising is really, really nice.
Yeah, it looks
like,
cool.
It's pretty slick. I mean, I'm going to order me some stuff, and my woman's pretty excited, so we're going to order some stuff. But I just like to represent. I think you're right about just representing the city of Austin.
Yeah.
I think
and
that's
Mike's
why it's
right
going to blow up.
About the non-Texas tie.
Yeah, exactly, right? No, I totally agree with that. So I think that that's going to help them. And listen, if that Q2 stadium is as nice as everybody's telling me, that'll keep the public engaged for at least a couple of years until they can get things going and make the product actually competitive. The biggest issue will probably be education overall for all of us who are not just traditional old school soccer fans.
You can't even read!
But you know a soccer fan. You know one who's somebody who's deep, who's actually deep, deeply rooted soccer fan. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Because you haven't hung out with them in that, you know what I mean, in that situation.
Right.
With them watching a local soccer
and
team.
And they're in the closet, like you said.
Well, they used to be.
I didn't want
to
get into
I remember going out for World Cup games and stuff to go to watch parties just because, oh, you know what? It's a cool event. Yeah. I'm going to go out. Dude,
I went to Fido's for a couple.
I see some of my friends out in jerseys. I'm like, dude, you're a soccer fan? Like, oh, man, I love it. I'm like, he starts speaking an accent and everything. I'm like, dude, where are you talking from the east side?
That sounds like a poser, but I know what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
The east side, the eastern hemisphere is what it is.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of people out there that will be able to help educate their fellow citizens on the goings on.
And we will need that. Because if I'm educating people that I've already talked to, then we're all going to need some education. But they were fired up. They're asking me because it's just Austin across the front of the chest, and they're excited about that.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, let's get into some of the stuff over the weekend. I was going to narrow this down to one, but it's going to be a potpourri type stuff because this was a great sports weekend for me. There's multiple things that happened on the diamond and then also in Augusta that stood out, and it was enjoyable. We'll get into it up next.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
All right, it's potpourri without the weed. If y'all have it, pass it, but we don't have it here. Lots of stuff I want to get into because this was one of those weekends that it may not stand out like a lot of weekends, but for me, it just was a great sports weekend, and it really started Friday night. Friday night, did you guys see anything that really stood out to you?
I was
Friday night
driving home,
okay,
and I saw someone wipe out on one of those e-scooters.
Whoa.
Oh.
That was pretty exciting.
Like downtown or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was driving on Cesar Chavez.
It wasn't Trey Faltini, obviously.
It was not Trey Faltini. It was not... Oh, who was the football player a couple of years ago?
That's right. We had a...
Oh, yeah.
Is it Stearns?
He was a baseball player and a football player.
David Hamilton's a baseball player.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And who was the
right?
That was huge, like
too?
Our All-American shortstop.
I thought there was a football one, but maybe we're mistaken.
I don't know.
We're old now.
That was interesting on Friday, Katie.
Okay, so the most interesting thing I saw on Friday night had to do with, we always laugh that, and I think we do a good job on this, calling ourselves out when we're wrong. Because I think the three of us are right about a lot of sports stuff and sports takes. And
it happens enough.
We're also going to be wrong, so have fun with it. Do you guys remember whenever we were giving away Rangers tickets? For the Friday game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what I said?
Yes.
I said this actually could be a good time to go see the Rangers because they may be able to get some runs because Joe Musgrove is going.
Mm-hmm. And I spat back and kind of gave Joe Musgrove some love.
You did.
It was more of a the Rangers suck take than a Joe Musgrove is great take.
Yeah, you didn't say you thought Musgrove was going to finish in the top five of Cy Young voting.
No.
But you were getting on the Rangers. And you were right. And I'll give Joe credit. So Joe Musgrove is a guy who's bounced around. He's been in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Arlington, too, hadn't he? Been with the Rangers or not? He's been around.
He's with the Strohs.
He's with the Strohs. I know that. But he hasn't been fantastic for sure yet. You know, he's still trying to find himself. He grew up a lifelong Padres fan, all right? A lifelong Padres fan. Well, heading into Friday night, there's only one organization that had not thrown a no-hitter. And that was the San Diego Padres. So just Joe Musgrove takes the bump. And I'm following this from about the fifth inning on. So I've got Texas baseball. I've got different stuff. And I'm pretty locked in on this game, which I would not be considering Fernando Tatis is out. And I'm locked in. Yeah, I know. I'm locked in on the Padres. Sense. But, man, that takes the sex appeal away a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Rangers look awful. Musgrove no hits them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool down the stretch. There was a really sharply hit ball in the ninth inning that I thought, that's just luck. And some pretty good defensive plays in there as well. But how about Joe Musgrove with a no-hitter, the first one to throw it for the Padres, and grew up a huge Padres fan, signed with them because that was his childhood dream.
Pretty cool story.
That's awesome.
And no walks, right? He hit one batter.
He hit one batter.
He hit Joey Gallo
in
the knee.
It's not a perfect game.
And that was it. I mean, he was one pitch away from a perfect game. But yeah, spectacular performance. The fact that he's a local kid who grew up rooting for the team makes it even better. But the question is, KD, does a no-hitter count if it's against the Rangers?
I know. I saw us. I had a couple of Rangers fans that they didn't say that, but they said, meh, I only give it so much credit.
Put an asterisk by it.
Is this really a AAA club for y'all this year?
I think the Texas Longhorns could take two of three from the Texas Rangers right now, if that tells you anything.
So you guys could use aluminum bats or whatever Melendez is using.
That would help. No, the Rangers are bad. I mean, they were the second worst team in the league last year. They didn't get any better this offseason, and they're likely to trade their best players at some point during this season, Joey Gallo included. So it's going to be a long year for Rangers fans. I don't think they're a AAA club. I don't think they're the worst team in the league, but they're bottom five without question.
And the reaction from his teammates was really cool. I'm about to get into that a little bit more with Texas. Sometimes you can really tell how close a team is with little things, mm-hmm. and especially when it's individual like that. Now, there was team elements to that no-hitter, of course, defensively and to get the win offensively. They had eight hits and won 3-0. But a guy like Eric Hosmer and Chris Paddock and some of the guys coming off the bench, the way they were rooting for them, they're hitting their heart after, like, oh my God, my heart was just going a million miles per minute there. I was so excited and nervous about it. That it really shows you they're doing a pretty nice thing, A.J. Preller is, in San Diego. And a lot of that, the Hosmers of the world, is to try and have the chemistry there. And the chemistry is there. They wanted Joe Musgrove to go get that. And if you didn't see that with the reactions after, you're blind.
If you're a Rangers fan and you're looking for a team to root for this year,
if
that's your thing, then the Padres should be that team.
Yep.
I mean, they're likable, number one. They're a young, likable team. They're in the same division as the Dodgers. I feel like a lot of people, especially around these parts, hate the Dodgers. But the Padres are also the Rangers West. I mean, general manager, there's three or four players that came from the Texas Rangers. Like, there are a ton of Ranger blood. There is a ton of Ranger blood within that Padres organization. And they're fun to watch, man. They've had a lot of luck in that ballpark. Remember last year, the one series San Diego played at the Gilf, they walked off the Rangers 4 days in a row.
Good call.
First team in Major League history to win four straight games via the walk-off. So, yeah, that's a fun team to watch, man. The Rangers, not so much a fun team, but it is pretty cool that we gave away tickets to a no-hitter.
Yeah,
our
we did.
Our show and Bucky and Aaron gave away tickets to that Friday night Jurors Pods
Good
game,
point.
And it turned out to be historic, which is always nice.
Even funnier that one of the hosts said, these will be good tickets, trying to spruce up the pitching matchup.
Yeah.
It wasn't fantastic. And I go, hey, maybe the Rangers will get some runs. They can get a W. No, they're not going to get a hit. Good call there, Kev. Mm. Hope you didn't call Vegas.
That is freezing cold takes right
no,
there.
No, that is, yeah.
Gotta hit up old takes exposed.
luckily, I didn't tweet that, but had to call myself out for that, and I enjoyed it as that thing was going through. The whole weekend was fun. Also on Friday night, I got a little worried with the whole, not a brawl, barely a skirmish.
Dude, I thought a couple guys died.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe. I mean, I hope everyone can see the next day because there were just some eye sockets that were taken out. I think the umps went a little too far on that, but I do love the way that turned out, and I do love Trey Faltini and Cam Williams and Mitchell Daly, but especially Faltini and Cam ready to go and having Mike Antico's back. You know, I should have thought of it, Rod, but we get a couple brothers on the team, and we don't take S from no one.
Hey, adds a little swag, man. Adds a little swag.
It does add some swag. I say that kidding around because they've had all white teams, and they've been tough. Texas baseball just doesn't take any crap. But just like the Padres, you can see this team loves each other, and they have their back, and they believe in the other guy. Mike Antico, postgame Friday night, said, hey, look, those three guys who had to come in, they could be starting anywhere in the country. Well, okay, that before you get the hyperbolic, you know, oh, that's not true. Yes, I understand Vanderbilt, Arkansas, there's maybe a couple programs they all wouldn't be starting at. But his point is well taken, and he played at St. John's.
Yeah.
Any of the teams he played against there, these guys would be starting. And they're here, and they're part of the team, and they came in, they were ready to play. I'm telling you, if you're trying to find out make the makeup of a team and just how close they are in the chemistry, Friday night would have told you a lot. Not only with those three guys stepping up and saying, no, we got our guys back, and if we got to fight, we got to fight.
Yeah.
But the three guys who stepped up and said, no, we're ready to go.
So they didn't explain later as to specifically why they threw out each player?
It had to be crap talking and finger pointing, but that didn't really match up either because the starting pitcher, Wicks, for Kansas State was chirping as loud as anyone and pointing, and they were on the Texas side of the field. If anyone gets tossed, he gets tossed to go with a couple of Texas guys. I get Faltini. Faltini was stepping up and was like, let's go.
But maybe it's like, maybe it's what they said.
Oh, and it could be that, but I've also...
Not just everybody
chirping.
I
also know college baseball dugouts.
Yeah.
You toss everyone by the third inning in any big game, in any conference game, like stuff that is being chirped from the dugout. It was the fact that it was one of those, and you'll see this with college basketball officials, sometimes college football, but definitely college basketball. Hey, we had to stop this thing before it turned into a fire. We had to set the tone. We could feel the energy. And I got it was more that sense. But it ended up hurting K-State a lot because number 55 may have been – it was the best reliever I saw that they had all weekend in terms of stuff. He was 94, 95, and command. Man, they've got no command, that the relievers. And so Texas depth was able to win out. And when 55 was actually able to pitch on Sunday, he looked pretty good. And I thought, boy, you could have used him on Friday night. And I'm not sure anything would have helped out Saturday. But the way they answered and then came out Saturday, Mike Antico was swinging the bat well.
He's back, baby.
He is back. And he's not missing leg day. We know that. But he is back. Took one oppo. Took one to right. Guys, they're just stepping up. This is a better baseball team than I thought they were. And I'm ready to go all in and just say, hey, let's see what this looks like in Stillwater. But before Stillwater, BK, you got time to continue to add momentum. We're going in there and should be red hot.
It's a close-knit group, and it's really hard to find a weakness on this baseball team. I mean, sure, you could talk about consistency. You could find something if you search hard enough. But, you know, a lot of the questions we had going into the season have seemingly been answered. A lot of that had to do with the weekend rotation. You and I were talking about this off the break before the show. Like, Tristan Stevens has done a phenomenal job as the Saturday starter.
I got to give you love on that because, man, I'm giving you two loves here.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know what?
I didn't realize the blind squirrel gets two nuts.
Well, I know. I only get one, but you get two.
Ah, well done.
And because, yeah, I wasn't sure about him a month ago, and BK said on the air, he said, I like what I'm seeing. You were obviously seeing something because he's been fantastic.
And Colby Kubicek, too, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not quite as dominant, but still, for a Sunday guy, he's been more than solid. So you just feel good. Like, going into the year, we're like, okay, on Friday night with Ty Madden, we feel like we've got a good shot to beat anybody in the country.
Yep.
But Saturday and Sunday, are those guys going to step up and give you a chance to win every time out? And it feels like they are. And, well, the offense, what, their lowest run total this weekend was 9. And
yeah,
I know K-State's not a great team. They're not going to make the postseason. But a power conference team to put up 9 runs and then double digits the other two games, the offense is starting to click, too. They've got speed. They got defense. They defend pretty well. They're clicking. They're firing on all cylinders right now, and we'll wait and see how they do down the stretch as the schedule gets a little tougher. But you see good teams get upset by bad teams in this sport all the time, at any level, high school, college, MLB. It's not happening to Texas right now. Like, they are taking care of business against everybody on their schedule right now, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and Kansas State's not good, to add to your point, but these guys are still throwing 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not like we've seen teams come in and you go, he's 85. If I ever could get in there, I probably wouldn't get a hit, but I'd feel more comfortable. We're saying that in the stands. Right, it wasn't one of those stats. I mean, these are still Power 5, like BK said, pitchers.
Yeah.
They had command problems, but that's one of the things I love about this team. They spit on stuff when they need to. They have a great understanding of the strike zone and their approach and how they're hitting the baseball. And a lot of it is with the extension, but also a lot of these guys shooting stuff to right center, Oppo. Man, I think something's helping out, and I will stick by that. Troy Tulowitzki is Jeff Howe. I asked him last night, and he said, I got a pretty good answer from Melendez that he's been a nice part of this.
Yeah. I mean, they put a lot of pressure on opposing pitchers. The big complaint at the beginning of the year, when they started 0-3, of course, seems like a decade ago now, was that they weren't quality at bats. They weren't taking quality at bats. They weren't putting a lot of pressure on the opposing pitcher. And now it seems the antithesis of that.
Hey, without a doubt, they grind at bats. All right, finish this off. We're going to get into it maybe a little bit, and we will a little bit at 6 o'clock. But you guys know this. I've talked about it before on the show. I became obsessed with Japanese culture. Probably in my early 20s.
No disrespect.
Well, no, I'm obsessed with it in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to learn more about it. Some of it had to do with the food, but some of it had to do just with how majority of their society just behaves and acts, and the amount of respect. And just a lot of it, honestly, had to do with the first Japanese person I ever really met. There was a bowing, and I thought, you know, I would see that stuff, and I thought, what is that? So I started to dig deep. There are some really good books. If you want to tweet me, I'll send you, won't send you the books, but I'll give you some of the titles if you are into stuff like that.
Hmm.
But for the first Japanese male to win a major, and for it to be Hideki Matsuyama, who's been around for a little while, this is someone we know, this is a name we know, but the way he did it was pretty damn impressive. You have a whole country who's on your back, and you're trying to win the first major. And some of that has to do with the environment right now for Asian Americans and what's been talked about.
Yeah.
But the fact that he goes out there and was pretty damn dominant. I mean, you know, I know he only wins by one stroke, but he's 69, 71, 65. And then that last day when he hit it in the water, he ends up with a 73. But when he hits it in the water, I'm thinking, oh, no. Luckily, he ends up getting Xander, who hits the ball in the water right after, I think, the next hole. So it kind of gave him a little bit of a break on that. But the fact that he's able to go through that, and the fact that he's got so much on his back trying to do this for his country for the first time, pretty damn impressive. It was a good weekend of sports.
Absolutely. Great weekend of sports. We're talking about it here on the Triple Option with RBKD. There is one and done. When we return, if you're looking for the best job in the world, I think we found it. We'll tell you what it is next.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
fucking thing sucks.
Off the record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into some Texas Longhorn football conversation. The first scrimmage of the Steve Sarkisian era took place on Saturday. We've got some insider nuggets for you. Also, some audio from Steve Sarkisian, his post-scrimmage media availability. So we'll give you some of that, including some conversation about the quarterbacks. Which quarterback got the first reps on Saturday? Well, we'll tell you and we'll let you hear from the coach himself, too. But, gentlemen, today's off-the-record story involves the sport of baseball. Major League Baseball is in full swing. And, gentlemen, there is one company out there that is looking for you. They are offering to pay someone to find out which MLB stadium has the best hot dogs.
Oh, my God.
You guys big ballpark dogs fan? Like when you go to the ballpark, do you have to get a hot dog or nachos? Is there like a certain go-to thing for you? Because I think most people associate the ballpark food with the hot dog.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the most common, most ordered ballpark food. Mm-hmm. Are you guys big dogs guys at the games?
I am. I'll usually get a dog, but I love nachos. I love ballpark nachos. I like them so much that I've gotten kind of sick with it. That, and I think it's nostalgic, but I like when they get cold even, and there's like one that's been dying. It drowned 3 hours ago, not 3 hours ago, but maybe like 20 minutes ago in there, and it's turned into this thing you can't even tell. It's not even a chip anymore.
Uh-huh. You're just eating a mound of government cheese.
I love it. Yeah, and I know it's not great cheese. There's just something about it. I love it. So nachos and dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. R&B. I think I prefer nachos over the dogs.
Okay. I love nachos, but I'm the type of guy, whenever I go to a new ballpark, I try the most unique thing I could possibly find.
Okay. Now, when you say unique, do you mean that it fits like with the city? So would you get a Philly cheesesteak in Philly?
Yes.
You mean, okay, gotcha.
Or
Rocky Mountain oysters?
I don't know if I'm doing
Colorado
Rocky Mountain oysters. No.
You want some balls?
I'm good on that. Yeah. There is a line there that I'm not willing to cross. But, you know, going to the Rangers ballpark, like trying the boomstick or the other 2-foot long food items that they have, like nobody else has that. So if I could find an item that nobody else has, like I went to Marlins Park 7 or 8 years ago and they had Cuban food. So I had Cuban food at the ballpark. Like how many ballparks are going to have that? Where it actually is quality. But this job, Bonus Finder is the name of the site. They are a casino review site, and they have launched a contest to find an MLB professional food tester. That's the job title, MLB professional food tester. And the winner will be given $500 as well as a budget for food and travel, and they're going to send you around the country to various MLB stadiums, and you get to watch their games and eat their hot dogs. You get to do this for free.
What kind of hotels are we talking about here?
I don't know about that.
How many direct flights are these?
That's a good point.
Yeah, we don't have the details.
You're paying
there.
$500?
Right. I mean, that's the side gift.
This is for someone who's retired. I get it.
Someone who's bored, or if you can work from home, or you can work anywhere in the world. And you're free, you could travel, you can go to games, you could spend your non-work hours doing other stuff. Like, this feels perfect for the pandemic schedule that people have. But yeah, you have to review hot dogs, and you review it based on appearance, color, flavor complexity, quality of meat, bun quality and flavor, sauce and topping generosity, along with value for the money as well.
Okay.
So you have to go like Guy Fieri reviewing these hot dogs here at different ballparks. My question is, like, how different are ballpark dogs? I feel like they're all pretty standard. If you get like a 2-foot long one, different. If you top it with chili and cheese and a bunch of other random stuff, different. But I feel like most ballparks probably get their hot dogs from the same wholesale distributor.
It depends on the a lot can be different, right? You can have a different type of wiener, like you can have like the beef, you can have like a different type of pork, like different. I mean, different types of hot dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the bun is all different.
That's true,
too, right? Depending on what type of bread you use, this guy's a food connoisseur, right? So all types of different breads they can use. Sometimes you put seeds on the bun.
Poppy seed bun would be Chicago dog.
Yeah, whatever it is. So, and then the toppings is a whole nother dimension. So it can be pretty different from region to region, even though I'm not a hot dog connoisseur.
He's not. By any stretch. I think he's right about all the accoutrements that go with it, or the bun.
It's a food porn term.
Yeah, that is.
The accoutrements?
Accoutrements.
Mm-hmm. Accoutrements. That is a food porn term.
Why don't you come over and we'll accoutrement some wine?
Mm.
I'm not going to do that.
That's
wasn't talking to you.
I don't swing that
Trust me. I was talking to all of our beautiful ladies out there.
Okay.
A lot of them are single that are listening.
You probably scared them more than you scared me with that.
Nah, so. I'd rather scare them than have you accept.
Okay. I already declined. So
well, I'm just telling you.
Well,
there never was an offer. What are you talking about?
I don't know what's happening anymore.
In terms of actual meat, that's weird to transition after that conversation.
It's just a tip.
Yeah, it's probably pretty much close to the same. You're right, where you're getting you're getting vendors. I will tell you this, you can get a better Chicago dog for cheaper or the same Chicago dog for cheaper outside of Wrigley.
Oh, in Wrigleyville?
Yeah, the price thing, I can tell you right now what they're going to find.
Oh, that's everywhere.
None of these are worth it.
I'm like, that's everywhere.
At minimum $5 for a ballpark dog, I feel like.
Spending food at a ballpark is like going to Vegas and gambling. Treat this as lost money. This is all part of the experience.
Yeah.
You spent how much there? About $150 for the two kids, and I ended up having an extra beer, which costs, it was $35.
Yeah. No, I agree. Between Disney Worlds or lands and airports, those are probably the only places, like in Vegas hotels that are actually higher priced or markup is higher than ballparks and, sports arenas.
Would you guys be down for this to be an MLB food taste tester?
Sure. How much you get paid again?
$500.
$500.
A week?
No. Total.
I think total.
Terrible.
Just pay for you to travel and go to the game. So you're basically getting free tickets, hotels, and flights to various ballparks.
Which is why I asked about the hotels and the flights, Rod, because that would be really odd if you're staying in, and I don't even stand in a 5-star hotel. I don't want to be in a flea bag and have nosebleed seats.
By
the way, it's not a rental. You got to get on 3 buses to get there.
Yeah, I agree. It's like,
you guys didn't spend here.
Grief to dollars ratio. Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it.
And you're giving me $500 for the whole thing.
For the whole
what
thing?
What did I miss?
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it.
Well, I'm applying for this job.
I bet you are.
If I get accepted, you're not going to see me for the rest of baseball season.
For $500?
Now, I'm also going to have to learn how to live on $500, which is pretty close to what I make here, so maybe it's not that hard.
And don't you guys have like 91 holidays coming up in the next 3 months? That would be tough if you got to eat a hot dog on one of those holidays.
No, we just passed Passover.
Okay.
Passover.
Passover, you're good?
For a while.
All right.
We'll see which ones I make up next.
You get to collect 200?
I get tired of work.
Because what's the Jewish holiday where you can't eat bread?
That's the one we just had, Passover.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sucks.
That would suck.
Yeah, it sucks.
I guess you could eat a dog without the bread. It's the meat.
Do people eat that?
Yeah.
People do that?
Some people do, yeah.
But don't you have to find out if there's any pork in that dog?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Rabbi, that's always a little pork in a dog.
Yeah. Rabbi's not going to be cool with this.
Nah, pork lips. little pork ass.
Little pork tongue. They put everything in hot dogs. It's a little, they put everything in there. Teeth, anything.
So you guys want to get real food nerd here? Best hot dog I've ever had was in Chicago at Hot Dogs. It's now defunct, and it was a foie dog.
What the hell is
Who now?
A foie dog.
It was a flaw dog?
Foie dog.
Foie.
So it was like venison. I want to say it was, venison actually of the dog, but then they put foie gras on top.
Ooh.
Was that foie gras?
And they had, exactly.
Okay, yeah,
foie gras.
Please.
I'm sorry. And then they had this different type of sauce that went on top of it. Mm. Oh my God.
Is that even a hot dog at
that
point?
Yes, it is.
See, there you go.
Yes, it is.
Okay, there you go.
Most important question of the whole segment. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
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 Why not?
Because it's not.
It's meat in between bread. Isn't that what a sandwich is?
No. Mm. This is not a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
What is it then?
Here we go.
It can be its own category.
I've had this conversation before, and people like that.
I was hoping we'd all be on the same page here.
They'll put you in a corner.
I don't think it's a sandwich either, though. I don't.
It's what a sandwich is.
I know, but I don't think it's a sandwich.
Okay. Take your thoughts. It's the most important question we have on today's show. 337-3776. If you want to sign up, you can do that bonusfinder.com. You can get paid money to eat hot dogs and watch Major League Baseball. I'm going to sign up for this. I think you have a couple of weeks to sign up before they shut down registration.
Here it is. It was duck sausage with foie on top and truffle aioli with a foie gras mousse. Oh, God, that was so good.
Just give me chili and cheese.
No, I'm telling
Hebrew
you.
National.
This was different. This was fat on fat.
It was built different, huh?
Yeah, it was built different.
I got that. 337-3776. It's the triple option with RBKD. When we return, some Texas football conversation. 12 days away from the spring game, but we are 2 days removed from the first scrimmage of spring ball. The big takeaways from that, plus Steve Sarkisian talking quarterbacks, what he's seeing from Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. Next.